This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The North Carolina Democratic Party has a new executive director. The appointment of Casey Mann spotlights a deep rift in the party as it tries to recover from dramatic losses at the polls over the last 4 years. The latest battle began last month when State Party Chair Randy Voller fired the previous executive director. At stake may be the soul of the party as it tries to decide on a message in light of the historic gains made by Republicans. John Frank is a political reporter for the News and Observer and joins us now. Hello, John.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about this latest battle. First of all, tell us about Randy Voller's decision to fire the last executive director. What was that all about?
Sure. It came abruptly, but not to some in the party who felt like the previous executive director wasn't reaching out enough to the grassroots members of the party. And that's really what we have here is a divide for, as you mentioned, the soul of the Democratic Party. You've got the activists on one side, represented by Chairman Randy Voller, who want to push the party philosophically to the left and also, not take lessons so much from the elected officials who typically run the party, but run it in the direction they want. And then you've got these establishment Democrats on the other side who've managed the party for decades, who are the elected officials in office who want more of a go-slow approach. They don't want to get too far ahead of voters on issues.
And it's interesting. We should probably step back and talk about this role of executive director. That has been historically a kind of behind-the-scenes principal fundraiser kind of a role, right?
Yes, the executive director is now Casey Mann. She was a field operator and ran campaigns most recently in the Charlotte mayoral race and also Randy Voller's campaign for chairman. In her new role as executive director, she manages the day-to-day operations of the party, the finances, keeping the lights on, and making sure the campaigns are run efficiently. As chairman, Randy Voller serves as kind of the figurehead of the party, the fundraiser, the cheerleader, but he's seeing a much broader role for himself as, a policy wonk, kind of pushing the party in certain directions on policies, whether wind energy or even legalizing marijuana, or medical marijuana, that is.
And as you say, there are some party regulars and people who are already holding office who don't want the leadership to be doing that because it can put them in a difficult position. Tell us more about that rift in the party.
The internal uproar led two top Democrats in the state recently to distance themselves from the party. On Friday, as I reported in the News and Observer, Kay Hagan's campaign has gone ahead and set up a coordinated effort with the Wake County Democratic Party for the 2014 election, bypassing the state party, which is typically the person or the entity that would work with her campaign on these get-out-the-vote operations. And then you had State Auditor Beth Wood recently ask for a refund of her $500 contribution to the party, saying she lost confidence in the party's fiscal management. And coming from a state auditor, that's a big deal.
It's a giant statement in some ways. I mean, Beth Wood obviously has a smaller profile than Kay Hagan, but to say, I want my money back, I don't think this party is capable of running a credible campaign. That's a powerful statement, isn't it?
It is, and I talked to her about that statement. She says it is aimed directly at the party operation. It's not personal. It's certainly not partisan. But it speaks volumes because she wrote in an email to Randy Voller that she did not have confidence that the money would be spent to help elect Democrats, and that's ostensibly the party's main function.
Right, and she's not saying that it's going to go to other purposes, but that particular point of view, that activist point of view, it would not be helpful to Democrats. Is that what she meant?
She meant both. I mean, it's partly she didn't feel like there were the right checks and balances in there for the operations and the spending of that money. But then, yes, she has voiced some concern about the direction of the party. Her refund request came a couple days after Robert Dempsey was fired as executive director in February. And we learned on the financial front yesterday that the party only has $60,000 in its operating account right now. And Chairman Voller mentioned the possibility of furloughs or possibly even moving its headquarters off of Hillsborough Street here in Raleigh.
So what is that? And tell us more about Kay Hagan's decision to align with the Wake County Democrats and not be part of the Democratic Party apparatus. What does that mean?
Sure. This is something that typically happens behind the scenes. It's what's called a coordinated campaign. It's an effort to get out voters to vote for Democrats. It benefits more than just Hagan's campaign, but it's funded largely by the National Party, the State Party, and then other wealthy Democrats who can give extra money to this account to help elect Hagan, even though they've maxed out to Hagan's campaign. So it's kind of this behind-the-scenes operation that does, you know, the bulk of the work to get Democrats elected. And to go around the state party means, as Hagan's campaign put it, that they just didn't have the confidence in the state party to do this, given their turmoil is not the word they use, but given the transition with the leadership.
So you have these two profile Democrats openly stating their lack of confidence in the party, and then you have this financial restraint, this shortfall, or I guess a shortage of funds. What did you say, $60,000 left in the kitty?
Yeah, and at least the operating account. They've got a number of different accounts, but fundraising's certainly been hurt, according to party officials who are quite open about this at the meeting in Greensboro yesterday, with this recent upheaval.
So it's another way of measuring confidence. So tell us more about the rift. What is it about an activist leadership that worries the in-the-trenches Democrats?
Well, it's an issue about where the party stands on issues and policies. For instance, let's take Chairman Voller has been outspoken in his push for medical marijuana and reiterated that to me yesterday in an interview. That's not a position an elected official, elected Democrat in North Carolina necessarily wants to take. It's a little bit on the edges. It makes some voters uncomfortable. It just kind of pushes it back against the center or even conservative side of voters in North Carolina, even a number of Democrats. I mean, as my colleagues and I were discussing earlier today, this is still a state that, you know, has debates about liquor by the drink. So to even push the idea of medical marijuana is just too far left for a number of the state's elected officials.
Moral Monday as well, and that's interesting because critics, of course, of the NAACP have said that this is simply a partisan issue. It's obviously a way of Democrats mobilizing, and yet Democrats are saying his position on has been too strong in support of Moral Monday. Am I right about that?
Sure, and there's a political positioning here in what you just mentioned. The idea of the Democratic Party endorsing Moral Monday and its officials starting to play a role and coming out to speak at these things certainly put it in a new partisan context, a context that wasn't there in some of the first protests at the legislature last summer. And that changed the dynamic of it a little bit and certainly gave Republicans a new line of attack. That left some Democrats uncomfortable that they would even go there.
Right. So all of these things point to the, as you say, the heart and soul of the party, its ideology, where it's going to stand as it tries to recover from all of these losses in the past two elections to Republicans. Tell us about the Ben Chavis controversy as well.
Yes, Chairman Voller put Ben Chavis forward as a potential executive director of the party. Chavis is a renowned civil rights leader, member of the Wilmington 10, but also had a controversial past at the NAACP, where he was ousted as its leader a couple decades ago regarding a secret settlement of a sexual harassment lawsuit. He then went on to serve as a top deputy for Louis Farrakhan at the Nation of Islam, and again had another controversy regarding a sexual harassment complaint. He's moving back to North Carolina. He's a North Carolina native and a close friend of Chairman Voller, and Voller thought he'd be a good pick for executive director, but the controversies of his past and also questions about whether he knows how to run the nuts and bolts of a party and campaigns in North Carolina eventually led the chairman to withdraw his name, and we saw at the meeting in Greensboro yesterday that Ben Chavis wasn't put forward at all in the end.
What about Randy Voller himself as chair of the party? Where is his position? Is he vulnerable now through all of this?
Randy Voller was elected by just a dozen-some votes in a contested election in 2013. He beat a candidate, Bob Etheridge, who technically didn't want the position and said he'd only take it if elected and didn't openly campaign for it. So he entered with not much of a mandate on his own, and it only took a few months of personnel scandals and other questions to surface that led to calls for his ouster. He has withstood those calls to resign and seems defiant as the leader of the party. And there are a number of grassroots Democrats and activists in the field who are very happy with his leadership and that he's showing them more attention than the past Democratic leaders.
It's kind of fascinating. It really does shine a light on what it means to be a Democrat in the state of North Carolina, how many conservative Democrats have served for many, many years and decades, and now with a credible challenge and a successful challenge by the Republicans, it does seem that for the first time in a long time, the Democrats have had to ask themselves, who are we? What does it mean to be a Democrat in North Carolina? Is there a single answer to that? Or given the diversity of the state and the politics from east to west, north to south, do you actually come up with a single answer?
That's the question, and it's an issue of just where you position yourself. This obviously all came to a head with electoral losses in 2010 and 2012. Before then, the Democrats at least had the governor's mansion. Money kept pouring in through donors who were trying to curry favor with the leadership. Without those posts now, the money dried up, and the Republican legislature also cut off tax checkoff funds, you know, the little box we all check on our state income taxes. Without that money going to the party now, it's got to find its own private donors exclusively, and it's having trouble doing that, and that's part of what's precipitating these problems at the party.
We're making national headlines these days. What about the national party and liberal groups across the country? Will the money from those groups make a difference?
It certainly could, and the relevance of state parties has been an issue for years now that we have these independent expenditures groups, these super PACs and 527s and whatnot, who have their own agendas and are finding different ways to spend campaign money. We even saw this in the governor's race in 2012. Instead of the National Democrats pumping money through the state party, they created their own entity down here to attack Governor McCrory, then candidate McCrory, and helped boost Walter Dalton's campaign. So this isn't the first time that the party's been tested when it comes to their relevance.
All right, John, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
John Frank, a reporter for the News and Observer. Coming up next, a photography exhibit that explores the faith of Father Divine. And listen to us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.